Reverend Wilkins, we're talking about the significance, the importance, the value of immigrants in America. And one of the principles that you point out is so important for us to not only be thinking about, but putting into play, is biblical hospitality.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a concept that, even though it's all throughout the Scripture, often gets overlooked in America today. It's a deeply rooted concept in the Middle East right down through till today, and would have been in the times of the Bible. And you can find it from the Old Testament, the New Testament, all through the Scripture. The idea of biblical hospitality is that when we receive a guest, a stranger from somewhere else, when we take them in, we take on full responsibility for them, for their care, for their comfort, and it's an obligation, really, that we take when we welcome the stranger. And in the days of Jesus, that would have been just clearly understood by everybody. And over again, the Scripture encourages us to show hospitality. In fact, by the time you get to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." And the idea of hospitality is lifted up as a requirement for people to be leaders in the church. It's listed as a requirement for widows. If they want to receive part of the offering, they should be people who show hospitality. And I think it's kind of at the heart of how we receive the stranger.
I tell you what, it's so fascinating that you bring that up. Hospitality, which is something that a lot of us certainly expect to be shown us when we're the visitors, we're on the visiting end of things, but we don't always come through when it's our turn to show the hospitality. What you mentioned to us that in the Bible, we see the command, the call for hospitality throughout. Could you give us some examples of how hospitality is shown in the Bible?
Well, it's you find it in places like in the book of Genesis. There's a couple of times when angels actually show up, but the people don't know that they're angels until after they've invited them in. One of the things that's interesting is when if you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, today, if you ask people why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, people will talk about ugly kinds of sexual sin and other things like that. But when the Bible speaks for itself, it actually says that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they failed to show hospitality to the strangers that came in there. And I don't think most people even realize that that's what the Bible says about that story, because we don't understand how seriously the Bible takes that concept. But if you go to the Middle East today, it's still that way. In fact, this is an odd kind of a secular story, but a true story. You may remember either the book or the movie Lone Survivor that talked about U.S. Navy SEALs who got caught up in an ambush in Afghanistan, and there was a fire team of four of them, and three of them died, and the fourth one was gravely wounded and fell off the side of a mountain and all of this. But in the course of the story, he wanders into a little Afghan village. And the people there, even though he's in a uniform of a Navy SEAL and he's been deeply wounded, shot multiple times, had broken bones, the whole thing, was close to death, and he was being pursued by the Taliban who were trying to kill him. But nevertheless, the people in this village showed hospitality to him. And when they did that, as soon as they showed hospitality to him, that meant they took on complete responsibility for his safety, for his care, for his feeding. And so they hid him away in this village, and this is a true story. They hid him away in the village, and the Taliban showed up, and they knew he was in this village, and they started demanding that the people in the village turn him over, and the people did battle with the Taliban, and several people in the village lost their lives to protect this man that they had taken in, because the laws of hospitality demanded that they do no less, and they literally laid down their lives for this total stranger that they had invited in because they were showing hospitality. And I think, you know, you hear a story like that and you think, well, that's pretty extreme. I mean, would the Lord really be asking us to go to the length of even being willing to lay down our lives for the sake of total strangers? But then I think about it and, you know, what did Jesus say? The greatest love is this, to lay down your life for another. So, you know, this idea of hospitality, I don't think most of us are ever going to be called to lay down our lives for an immigrant or a stranger that comes into our midst, but it might require some sacrifice and care on our part to live out this idea.
That is so interesting. You know, you think about some of the instances where we have read about hospitality being shown. Like you mentioned the angels being entertained unawares, and we think about Abraham having been visited by who turned out to be the Lord himself and two angels, but he made sure that he fed them. He made sure that their quote unquote physical needs were taken care of, and he rushed to get it done.
Yes.
Jesus criticizing the Pharisee for not having washed his feet because it was expected in that culture. That your guests who are walking these same dusty roads that you're walking with sandals, not tennis shoes, have their feet washed so that they can be refreshed. And you're talking about really going above and beyond. And I mean, like you said, a real story. This really happened. That these people not only refreshed, but they ministered to the medical needs of the man. They ministered to the safety needs of the man, even to the point of laying down their lives for him. And we have here in America people who complain about their own needs that are so difficult for them to meet when we're having such a difficult time financially. And yet, when we have immigrants who are brought right to our doorsteps, even people who say, I am a follower of God, don't want to help meet these needs of these immigrants whose needs are even more dire than our own.
You're so right. You're so right. And, you know, I think it comes down to a lot of times, do we really trust that God has enough? You know, because I just don't think, you can outgive God. I don't think you can outlove God. And when we extend love and care and hospitality and generosity to others, I think God just pours more into our lives.
So, Reverend Wilkins, what are some steps that we can take when it comes to attaining to a different position or a different disposition when it comes to the way we view immigrants and the way we actually treat them?
I think that's a great question, Carl, and I would say, from my point of view, it starts with a willingness to open our eyes and try to see the world as the Lord sees it. So sometimes I catch myself at the beginning of a day just saying, Lord, I can't solve the whole world's problems, but I sure don't want to miss who you put on my doorstep. So open my eyes. Just open my eyes to let me see who you're putting in my path today, in my life today, that you might be wanting me to be the hands and feet of Jesus for. And, you know, if you pray that prayer, God will answer that prayer. If you pray and say, Lord, show me the people that no one else sees, that no one else cares about, you'll see them. And then the second step, I think, in that process is to just have the courage and the willingness to extend friendship. It may be nothing more than just being willing to speak to a person. So many people in our culture are completely invisible because our culture just chooses not to see them. They're there and they're right in front of everybody, but they're invisible. The homeless people that we pretend not to see, and the immigrant that we pretend not to see. So sometimes just seeing and making that connection. And then, you know, I honestly believe, Carl, that if you're open and if you're seeking in that way, that the Lord will show you how you can befriend someone and really begin to show hospitality. And, you know, when friendship emerges, our hearts change. You know, that's true in so many different areas. When we just open ourselves up and know people as people rather than the stranger, our hearts change.
That is such an interesting point, to see people as people instead of seeing them as strangers.
And I think that can only happen when we engage. You know, the only way you ever get to know anybody is walk across the room.
That is a great point. Reverend Wilkins, I tell you what, I truly appreciate you for, in such a tactful yet powerful way, having challenged us to examine our own views, our own attitudes, our own dispositions about immigrants, and seeing if there's some changes that we need to make. And with one of those changes being asking ourselves the question, am I willing to at least consider developing a friendship with this person instead of dismissing this stranger? Thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure, Carl. It's always nice to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Y'all stay with me. I'll be right back.